Oh. Hey, Vicki.
Oh.
How you doing?
Good.
Hi,
Excellent. How are you?
Good. Scipients.
Greetings.
My daughter's, pardon me, my friend's five-year-old daughter can't say the word. Calls me Scipient. Whatever. How are we all doing?
Pretty good.
How are you? Excellent.
We're good. Yeah, me too.
Wonderful.
Awesome. That oil of oregano was really good. Anyone has a cold out there, just pop some of that stuff. And
it works wonderful, huh?
Not that I know what a cold is.
Radionics works good, too.
Actually, interestingly, you mentioned that. I got a DVD from a friend in Niagara Falls, and Neil, I forgot to thank him, actually, and he's on the call. Thanks, Neil. It's about a guy named Royal Raymond Rife. I don't know if anyone has heard of the guy.
Yeah, Royal Rife. Yeah.
Yeah. But he's the inventor of those machines. However, the machines that anyone has currently is a knockoff. It is not a genuine Rife machine, and it does not work as his machines worked. There's a big story behind the whole thing, and of course the American Medical Association got involved. And so bottom line is this guy, Royal Raymond Rife, had all diseases cured in 1934 mm-hmm. with a frequency generator, radio frequency, but he generated the frequency with a gas. It's the only mm-hmm. thing that would work. No other method. A gas.
I've got one here, and you know, also I've had phenomenal results with it. Lots of people.
Maybe it's more of their, I shouldn't say that, but there's the history behind these machines in any case. I watched the whole DVD, actually, all of it. It's all documented in medical journals, newspapers at the time, and as you say, once my got involved, everything went to shit. The guy ended up dying an alcoholic.
Yeah. Yeah, his was like a superior version, you know.
Well, his is the version.
Yeah.
He invented the microscopes that enabled them to first see into the viruses.
Yeah.
And then he discovered, even today, his have not been outdone with regards to the magnification live viewing.
Yeah.
And he was going into the cells, 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 and even made the comment, I think I'm looking at infinity.
Yeah.
And but yeah, he had everything done. He documented all cancers. The first test was 34 patients, all terminal, all went 60 days,
and only one died.
Pardon me?
And only one died, but not from the cancer. It was liver. He took something. It was what was it? It was a officiate, and he died from some sort of. Not poisoning, but I just saw the film. It's pretty cool.
Well, you could be right there. Royal Rife discovered that it was better to treat people twice a week than 7 days a week because the body couldn't eject the poison quick enough.
Exactly.
And so the cure rate was quicker at twice a week. And but other than that, you would dial in the frequency for the particular virus, and it would only attack that virus. And you can see right under the microscope, just its membrane would break, and it would just die right there. And it was amazing. It is amazing.
Yeah.
Anyhow, it's interesting, too. It's even some Canadian doctors are now involved in trying to in resurrecting that technology and working, you know, the consciousness shift that's going on everywhere. I even heard a minister on the radio the other day. Just happened to be scanning through the radio in the car there and went across this Christian radio station that we get out here and just happened to stop there in the scan mode and heard a couple of things the minister said, and I thought, oh, here's some more of that stuff, and just push the button to continue scanning, and something said, they'll go back and listen to it, and I got to tell you, this guy went for half an hour. Oh, and he's, it's amazing what, I was actually stunned to hear it on the radio, and he's saying, you know, to you Christians, you got to stop just going to church and waving your banners, you got to get the conviction out there now and this kind of stuff, and there's more than just the talk, you know, and start to do, and anyway, it was really inspiring, to be honest with you. So it seems more and more, there's more and more, pardon me, evidence of a shift out there going on big time.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know. So
it was a shift, was it?
Oh, the consciousness thing. Pardon me?
Okay.
Just a shift in consciousness going on. getting the Kid Rock song. I haven't bought the CD, actually. So anyhow, the reason for the call, as you know, is to talk about what we've been sharing back and forth on emails the last couple, 3 weeks, and certainly of the last few days, and I guess we'll just really stick to the last few days. Keeping in mind and purposes of this conversation, you are your own highest authority. Every one of you is a sovereign. And in order to be sovereign, you got to start making your own decisions. In other words, and I'm just sharing this, it's not to say that, can I do it this way, can I do it that way? You decide. You're the boss. Okay? You can't tell someone else, and I'm not talking about how you're dealing with other people. I'm talking about how you're dealing with yourself. And so if you're thinking to yourself, geez, I don't know if I can do it this way, I don't know if I can do it that way, should I do it this way, should I do it that way? You decide what is right for you. Part and parcel of this whole little program here, you don't have any limitations or restrictions in you. And so just with respect to yourself, have respect for yourself and take that authority and just make your own decisions. You know, you can do no wrong. It's the guilt inside and the wonderment, and I know what's, because I go through the same things, and you can't put words to it, but, you know, the doubts, the fears, whatever, but we have to, I think, appreciate that we are our highest authority. The system knows that. Have no doubt about it, and we just need to get the doubts out of ourselves and just start walking the walk, part and parcel with everything we do, and that as the foundation, but of course doing it lovingly and with compassion and just appreciating whoever's on the other side of the bench or the wicket, whatever. It's really a mirror image of you, and we're all in this together, so let's bear these things in mind, but you are your highest authority. If you don't know how to do something, you ask. But if someone says to you, jump, and you jump, then they have the authority, not you. And this is the kind of thing I'm talking about. And but again, deal with it all from a loving, compassionate perspective, and there shouldn't be any problems. I want to share that I managed to open up a bank account today. And signed on the account for Her Majesty Right of Ontario. And so that's done. Now, I suspect and I think what happens with bank accounts today when an account is opened is that they send them to their head office or they go somewhere where they're scrutinized. So at the same time I did this, I also gave the lady that was opening up the account a sheet of paper with some information on it, which in all honesty, she kind of glanced at it, but she didn't really read it. I didn't care. She took a copy and she put a copy in the file with all the other stuff. And basically, I was just sharing the section of it to one of the Change of Name Act and laying out a little bit about not putting down what I believe the intentions to be, but asking questions, what's the parliament's or the legislature's intention there, and making it clear for the records that I don't consent and I don't, you know, I don't consent to be recognized, I don't accept the offer, blah, 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 and based on that, and that I have the authority of the party granting me the right to be recognized, or the authority of the offerer, who buying the offerer, and again, that which is Her Majesty. So that's done, and so I'm just deciding what to do next on that, but I think I'll just let it sit, and if the checks show up in the mail.
So banking is not federal?
Pardon me?
Banking is not federal?
Yep. Sure is. But I got the birth certificate from Ontario, so I don't think it really matters, and I don't care. You do what you do as long as you know why you did it, and you can answer the question, why did you do it this way? It's up to yourself again.
Right.
I don't think there is any right way or wrong way. It's basically, at the end of the day, it comes down to the intention. And I don't think they're going to come to you. If the truth is, it's either Majesty or one or the other, or the fact is that it is Her Majesty of the province, but I don't think Her Majesty Right of Canada is going to come to you and say you can't do that.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't make sense. Her Majesty is Her Majesty, and the point is what you're saying, it's not me. It never was me.
Right.
And I think that's the major point being had there, again, dealing with the principal and agency thing, how you sign. A couple things to review. That word intention is very large. Sure, your signature is your name. So it's got nothing to do with the name actually on the birth certificate. You could say, again, it could say Mickey Mouse on a contract. It could say Mickey Mouse on the checks. It could say Mickey Mouse on the phone bill. You could say Mickey Mouse on the speeding ticket. It's how you sign or act or speak with respect to matters concerning a legal name that becomes your, that is your signature and express is, and is an expression of your intention. So it's not a blanket situation where you are or are not recognized by the legal name. And it doesn't matter what that name is on the paper. It's how you sign. Your signature is your name. And so all that's really happening here is we have this legal name just sitting out there in the middle of nowhere, and it's the thing that gets charged. So then, you know, something flies at it and charges it. And then the only question is now who's going to perform for it, because there is nothing to perform for the legal name. It's just a name. It exists in name only. We all know that stuff. There is no flesh behind it or anything like that. It's purely a name. And like any name, it requires human intervention or human being to perform for it. So the question at the end of the day is, simply is, are you or is the offerer, Her Majesty, performing for it? That's the only question. And the fact that the law is granting you the choice is where the offer is coming from, and you're under no obligation to accept that offer. But the point is if you sign on a contract that says Mickey Mouse on there, or says the name on the off your birth certificate on there, and you sign with a mere signature, for all intents and purposes, what you're saying is, yes, I choose to be recognized by this name, which means actual and publicly known. Okay, because the alternative is, if you know it's not your name, then surely you would not sign in a manner that would bind you to perform for it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there's a legal name, and then there could be your signature on there, or there could be someone else's signature on there. And this is the choice. If it's your signature on there, then it's, again, you're covering for you're agreeing, and your intention is expressed on paper to perform for that name. So for all intents and purposes, no reasonable man would sign in that manner unless he's actually choosing to be recognized by that name. It makes no sense. Okay, so
if... Because I'm going to treat this bank account, are you making deposits or...
I just established the account today. No, I don't think into the future, so I don't want to get into conversations. How would I do this and how would I do that? I don't know. Okay, all I did today was establish the account. As I've said, I'm going to wait and see if the checks come. If the checks come, then I've got verification that they're still proceeding on the account. Then I will decide what to do after that. That's it. Nothing more to say on that subject. So the intention is what they're looking at here with regards to the signature area. And what we're talking about here is the intention in the Section 2 or the law, the Change of Name Act. And clearly it is not the intention of the Parliament that you shall be recognized by the name. That's a choice. And the simple thing the mind has to be going to here is, well, if I don't consent or agree to be recognized by that name, then who the heck is? Yeah, not necessarily the response, but certainly is a good response, is, well, if I don't choose to be recognized by this name here, who is? You know, so again, if someone's saying, what makes you think you can sign for Her Majesty? Well, you could just put it really simply. Let them figure it out. You don't have to tell them where you're getting your knowledge from. Just say, well, here, read this, and you tell me, if I choose not to be recognized by the name, who is? You got this name out there floating on a contract, says there's $5,000 owed, and I said I don't consent to be recognized by it, so who are you going to recognize now? So it's really quite simple. And but even then, for those who don't have
this necessarily call is being recorded.
A specific Change of Name Act, it's clear and concise to say as it is in Ontario. The point is you're, no one in any province with a birth certificate must be recognized by the name on the certificate. Okay, it's a choice, right across the board. And so, in other words, there is no law that says you shall be recognized by the name on it. So if you were to say, I don't consent, and someone says, well, you can't do that, then you got to say, well, what do you mean I can't? Sure, however you get around that. But the point is you need to see the law then that says you must be recognized by it.
Hey, Vic, can I interject here for a second?
Certainly.
Yes, Bruce. Somebody just logged on and it said this call is being recorded. Is that what we want?
I don't care.
Okay.
Matter of fact, we tell people if you want to remember the stuff to record, so.
Okay.
Beck, the check becoming, you're referring to, you opened a checking account and they are making you checks?
Well, when you open up a bank account, you get checks, right?
If it's a checking account.
Yep, that's right.
I hadn't clarified whether it was a checking account.
Yep.
It would be with a business checking account or a personal checking account?
Whatever they want to do, I don't care.
Okay.
I showed the ID, and she did what she did, and it was really painless. It was over in 20 minutes, 25 minutes, maybe tops, shooting the shit. It just, you know, like I say, I gave her the piece of paper with the information and signed accordingly, and there's nothing else to talk about there. I'm just sharing you with what I did, okay? And I don't see the necessity to have a bank account. I just really did it to go through the steps. It's an opportunity. It's something to do, and there's an experience to be had, so that's why I'm doing it, or that's why I did it. I still don't see the need for a bank account because of the main concept is that it's the vendors that need to deal with the money. And I also believe that, you know, because lots of people say, okay, that's great, but how do I get, you know, cash for incidentals and stuff like this? And that's just thinking into the future again. Why are you thinking like that? I don't know. But think in terms of I do something, and surely somewhere along the way, and something I do here that I do proper, someone's going to come to the door and say, well, okay, we see what you're doing here, so here's all the stuff for you. You got a trustee, away you go. You know, so. And that's where my thinking is at. Not thinking about how am I going to get cash for the incidentals.
Do you not need to make a deposit when you open a checking account?
Yep, I just put in, I think it was $35.
Cash.
Pardon me?
Cash.
Yeah, Her Majesty's money, yep.
Right, okay.
Yep, the point is there. The principal has been identified on the account, who's actually responsible for the account.
Right.
That's the basis the account was opened in. So, anyhow, I just wanted to do that quick review, and really this call is for you guys. So if you have questions, you know, start asking. Whatever it may be.
If we choose not to accept the name which is on the BC,
except, yeah,
then we don't use the name that's on the BC when we're signing, right?
You're not choosing to be You're not choosing not to use the name. You're choosing not to be recognized by it.
Okay. Well, in recent correspondence, you had talked about you could use a name similar to the name on the BC, but not the same as the name on the BC.
Well, some people still have it stuck in their head, and something we talked about 2 or 3 months ago, which was that we got to get the name on a contract exactly as it appears on the birth certificate, because there's no such thing as a derivative of a business name.
Okay.
I'm saying forget that. When you show the identification to some party that needs to see it, and they want to let them do whatever they want to do with the name, just make sure that it's clear that the name originated from the birth certificate.
Right.
If you don't have the birth certificate in evidence, or the other guy doesn't have knowledge of it, then he can't say for sure where the name came from.
No, but you said, for instance, your name was Joe Smith, for instance, and you gave him a VRB identification.
Yep, that's what I did today. I didn't go by a name that was at all like the one on the birth certificate.
Okay.
She said, well, yeah, I have to open the account on the name on the birth certificate. I said, yep, I know, no problem.
Okay.
I just wanted to clarify who I am in this equation.
Yep.
I had no problem with any of that.
I would suggest to everybody to change their way of signing so that it can't be identified to a certain name. You can scribble it, and who knows who signed it.
It's very simple. Okay, you need to have a nexus there. What is the nexus? Is the nexus that the name is out of your head, or that the name originated off the birth certificate? And I've had experience with the birth certificate in certain situations, it's like they don't want to see it. because it seems you're giving them some kind of knowledge there, and others have shared the same thing. And I remember in the bankruptcy, when I showed that birth certificate to the guy, the trustee in bankruptcy there, it never showed up again in anything, and I even left him a copy, and he shuffled it off very quickly. And point is you need to have a nexus there to identify the source and the origin within the knowledge of the party you're doing business with at the time. And so, for example, if I'm doing a real estate or, you know, as I've done in the past, I show the birth certificate and say the name on this birth certificate is the buyer. Okay, now if they want to put it down as Mr. Victor Beck, I don't care. Well, I would have a problem with the Mr. part, but if they put it down as Vic R. Beck or something like that, I don't care.
Right.
Okay, or Beck Victor Robert, it doesn't matter. He got it off the birth certificate, so it originated off of there.
Okay,
if I just tell him that it's Victor Robert Beck and don't show the birth certificate, then for all intents and purposes, if it came to going to court and testifying, he'd say, well, it came from Vic's mouth. I didn't see it come from any other place.
Okay, I would accept that.
Versus saying, well, he showed me a birth certificate and said this is the name of the buyer. So there's your nexus. There's your connection. There's your origin, your source, your proven provenance.
Right.
Okay, so that's, in my view, that's the first thing. That's why you have that birth certificate. However, at the end of the day, having said that, keep in mind here that there's no agent out there, period. I mean, if they start looking in the system to identify where the name originated from, where are they going to go? If there someone was to do an investigation and says, well, we got this name floating around here in the system here, where did it come from? They're never going to come to you as the source.
No.
Because looking through all of their evidence.
Their system anyways.
That's right. Exactly. It's going to go back to the birth certificate. It's going to go back to the statement of birth. So the name that's in the marketplace out there that is actual and publicly known, there's no way to trace it to you. So that's why I'm saying forget all it. There's a lot of things you can forget about here. It's really, really simple. You have a choice whether or not to be recognized by the name on the birth certificate, and you're not obligated. It doesn't say shall, or there is no shall. And if it was a shall, then I wouldn't apply.
I
if I didn't have a choice, I would say, well, here, I don't want a birth certificate then.
Yeah.
So, Vic, it's Doug. So the identity of being a person doesn't matter?
No, I never said I was a person.
Well,
when they're talking about, you got to remember that the meaning of a word is used within the context at any given moment. So if you're talking, for example, a person driving a car, well, that's different than a person referred to under vital statistics as a fetus.
Or under the Change of Name Act, and it does state that a person whose birth is registered in Ontario is entitled to be recognized by
name. Yeah, but it's not talking about a taxpayer, it's not talking about a driver, it's not talking about a doctor or lawyer, it's talking about a fetus. It's talking about a child that's not old enough yet to be anything else but a child.
And this Change of Name Act? That's what you mean? The Change of Name Act has that connotation?
Like I said, you know, people tend to go to the dictionary and they read the definition of a person and they think it's wanton across the board. It applies to every single solitary usage of the name. No, it's not the case. They define different words. You know, the word person can have a 55 different meanings throughout 55 different statutes.
I understand that. What meaning does it have in this ROS Change of Name Act?
Read the Act. It says right there, a person who's under 18. Anyhow, that's neither here nor there for me.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you a sign on the bottom line. So, in any case, the word person applies. Again, if you're in court for traffic charges, then you're a person who drives a car. If it's a tax matter, you're a taxpayer, a person who's employed.
And they're all different definitions, I understand that.
That's right. And so, thing is under the Vital Statistics and or the Change of Name Act, none of those other capacities, if you will, that relate to a person apply until one is old enough to go up there and start to become these things. Okay, and so none of those things, other options that we can become later on in life are not applicable in the Vital Statistics or the Change Your Name Act. They have nothing to do with it.
Well, Vic, it's Jim again. So before when we were talking about the legal name as being you either being the legal name as recognized by the legal name or being represented by, is that still applicable?
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, again, we have this legal name.
So then the straw man is then the agent representing you. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's right, and let's just touch on that for a second here. Her Majesty is the principal, and that legal name is the agent, not you or I.
Right.
We're not there, okay? You are what you say you are, and my rule is I'm nothing, therefore I am everything.
Okay.
Remember the quote I sent out a few months ago that was shared with me, which is, if I say I'm this, then that's all I am, but if I'm nothing, I'm everything. So I bear that in the back of my thinking and everything I do here. This whole system is set up that the sovereign, and I shared years ago in the dialogue they had in the House of Commons there in 1926 when one of them used the Queen's name by accident. Holy shit. The next 15 pages was about how you cannot use the name of the sovereign in the House of Commons.
No, I am.
They really lambasted the guy. Remember here we're talking about the recognized is dealing with actual and publicly known. That's public business in those House of Commons and out in the streets and in the stores and all that stuff. And the sovereign is not to be recognized or known there, not to be talked about. So the sovereign's not there. You, although you're there, remember like in the movie The Attack of the Clones where Yoda was talking to the archivist or whatever, they're looking for a planet and... Yoda could see the planet, but the other guy said, look, if it's not in our archives, it does not exist. The thing that is in their archives is that legal name that you have the choice whether or not to be recognized by. So if you're not recognized by it, then the actual and publicly known part does not stick to you. So who are you? Well, I don't know. I don't know who he was, but he was here and he signed for.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter. You know, just as much as our body is actually just... Our physical body is carrying our soul and our spirit and is there to move it around and protect it. In a sense, we've become so attached to it that we've got the fear elements have reversed everything. So, no, it's no big deal here. It's just, it's all down at the signature.
Pardon me? Does that apply to a new driver license? If I apply for a new driver license,
well, you see, I wouldn't
want the signature. So
whoa. Let's stop on this again. I started the conversation talking about your own highest authority, and if the province says you need to have a driver's license, are you going to do it because they say you need to have it, or are you going to do it because out of love? In other words,
I would now do it for the straw man, not for myself. I would sign.
Well, then I think I would make that clear. And I'm thinking about that myself. I'm thinking, I'm not going to be having this conversation with the people at the License Bureau. So maybe I should, again, this is another conversation for a lawyer, perhaps. If the province of Ontario wants me to have a driver's license in this name that I'm not recognized by, then they can mail it to me. And make it a lifetime one, because I'm not applying, I'm not paying, I'm not, I'm a sovereign here. I don't apply to these rules. These rules don't apply to me that I'm going to make an application. This is part of the story I'm talking about here. So
you're
these are things that's going through my mind. You got it in your mind that you have to have a license because the law says so. And if you're hearing that law and obeying that law, not disrespectfully or anything, but or not to be disrespectful, but just who the heck is the law speaking to here? The law is speaking to the legal name that you've chosen not to be recognized by. So now the law's not speaking to you. So now how do you get a license? Well, the law's not speaking to me. I can't apply for a license, but they're gonna give me a hard time, perhaps, if I don't have one. So I got to talk to someone about this. How do we rectify this problem? I have a choice not to be recognized by this name. I'm here to talk to you, sir, about this, and I choose, and you agree with me. I have a choice. Good. I'm letting you know I don't consent. Now, what do we do? Now that I'm not recognized by that legal name, who's going to perform the obligations with respect to it? The law says that all persons require a driver's license. Well, since that's the name that's going to go in the driver's license that I'm not recognized by, so that law's not speaking to me, so who the heck I think the province should just send me a driver's license. So it's not to say, again, what are your reasons for doing things? I'm not saying it's not true they're off or anything, but we have to think about this stuff here and...
As I said, I don't want a driver license for myself. I want it for that straw man.
I understand.
And I sign for him. So when I'm asked for a driver license, I present.
Well, hang on here. Let's get another thing.
The straw man is owned by Her Majesty. So I'm not responsible. It's a straw man. You know, I can't identify my. myself on paper. I only identify myself as myself.
Yep, but something you said there, too, I want to touch then, and you said signing for the straw man. No one here is signing for the straw man. If you're still thinking in those terms, you're signing for Her Majesty.
Yeah, for Her Majesty.
Okay, just to make sure that we're clear on that.
No.
Okay, if you sign for the legal name, nothing's changing there because you're not disclosing the principal.
Yeah.
And again, under power of attorney, if I give you power of attorney to do things in my name, then you can sign for Victor Beck. Okay, and now Victor Beck becomes the party liable, not you. If you sign for Her Majesty, it's not you, it's Her Majesty.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
so again,
that's good. Good point. So we'll have to stick to representing
and
Her Majesty and not
you know,
anything else.
It was, that's right. It was tossed around, too, about signing Victor Beck and Right of Ontario or Right of Canada. That does not identify the principal either. You know, basically, as Lee said last week, there's basically only three parties in the equation here. That is Her Majesty, all of her representatives, and all the legal entities, including the corporations and the legal names on the birth certificates. That's all there really is out there. You and I are here, but we're not in their records. So if we're not in their records, in their archives, we do not exist, is what I'm saying. So you're there, but you're not there. You're not there on the record. Well, again, someone was here and signed for Her Majesty. We don't know who he is. We just see that he signed here for Her Majesty, but we have no idea who he is.
Well, sorry, I would say sign for Her Majesty in Right of Canada or the province.
Yep, just whatever. Again, you decide yourself. And as long as you have an answer to the question, and I don't think, when you're signing for Her Majesty in any capacity, I don't think someone's going to come to you and say, well, it should be this one, not that one. They can fix the problem. They can deal with it because they're all dealing with the Majesty. You know, if it's wrong jurisdiction or something, they'll deal with it because the bottom line is you're not Her Majesty. You're not the principal, so they got no business with you. They might have some questions or something perhaps, but that's okay. Just stay on the truth. Very simple.
Hey, Vic.
Yep.
I just wanted to ask a question about a few things I've been thinking about. One of them is like this, that is the sovereign can do no wrong. Is that correct? Like, the Majesty basically can do no wrong because if it and you know that section has to be an offer to the people, because if it was a shell, then she who is, you know, passing, you know, signing for all the laws that are legislation, she would become like creating involuntary servitude.
Well, that's right, and that's exactly right. And at that point, they should make full disclosure.
Yeah, and also then...
And if there was no full disclosure, then you're into a trap and a whole bunch of human rights violations there, so...
Right.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, like, the idea that Her Majesty can do no wrong, you know, she's giving an offer, and then we choose to kind of screw her. And then, but then if you say to a representative or, you know, of Her Majesty, like, are you forcing me to be recognized by this name? Like, are you saying that as a representative of Her Majesty, the principal, like, aren't they now making the principal also, what's that word, binding the principal with a wrongdoing?
And it's all in your language. You know, if you're speaking in a verbal matter in a court, a friend called me, or I was talking to a friend the other day, and he shared a story, which is similar to a story I shared a few months back, almost a year ago. This is basically a traffic matter, and the particular that was the alleged defendant, he and my friend went forth when the case was called, and my friend said that he was not representing but speaking for the alleged defendant and introduced the alleged defendant as his friend Sammy, and his friend said, when the judge says, what's your name, he said, well, my friends call me Sammy, and blah 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 blah, and thing was over in about 2 minutes and they dropped the charges.
Great.
And he didn't even say I don't consent. He just never acknowledged the existence of the name. They never really got into it, and the thing is so I just shared, you know, you could probably shut these things down that much quicker. You just go up there, you flash the birth certificate, again, to show the nexus, know, the name on this certificate, I believe Your Honor, or is the same on that charges over there, and I don't consent to be recognized by the name. And I'm here under the authority of Her Majesty to let you know that. Your Majesty is the principal. Crown Consolidated Fund pays the charges.
The other question I have, when Her Majesty, like, signs the Canadian Bill of Rights, it's with the advice, blah, 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 of all her representatives, but she's kind of making a declaration to all the, like, her basic prerogative, right? So wouldn't it be fair to say that that is her prerogative in all her realms, like British Columbia or Ontario? It's her prerogative not to commit a
crime. It's her business.
Yeah.
It's your prerogative what you do in your house, and she has a government house, and of course it's their prerogative what they do in there, but I'm not sure what the line of questioning is all for. Your Majesty is the figurehead that all of the government agents represent. It's just a legal entity.
Yeah.
If you read Section 2 of the Bank Act, it's very clearly defined as an entity that's subject to debt obligation.
Yeah.
So it's not talking about a human being there. It's talking about a legal entity. So, again, that's, and I'm not saying anyone is here, but let's not be thinking of the lady over there in England that's Queen Elizabeth or anything like that. When we're talking about Her Majesty, we're talking about a legal entity.
Yeah.
Only legal entities can have debt obligations. Human beings can become sureties, but human beings can never have a debt obligation. It's impossible for a human being to be a debtor. But he can be a surety.
I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm just trying to put something in my head, my mind, where logically that, where if she makes a declaration that of human rights for Canada, then it must be true for all of the provinces.
That's all international law.
Yeah.
But that's,
and then the other part is when I found that, the Uniform Law Conference thing of Canada. I mean, that's all the head, legal authorities of each province getting together and discussing. They must have the authority and be empowered by Her Majesty in order to even have that conference.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Of course they are. I mean, they're all working for Her Majesty is their God, period. That's it.
So,
it's a legal entity, and that's where their power and the authority flows from. They've designated that to be their God, and the God can do no wrong. And as long as the agent does what is within the limits of his authority, he's not doing any wrong. He's indemnified by everything he does, including shooting people. A cop is authorized to shoot a guy, then he's indemnified by Her Majesty, which is just a legal system protecting the guy that's protecting people from other people.
Right.
The other thing to bear in mind here is going back to the beginning of the conversation, no one declares my human rights.
Right.
So I'm not going to listen to any law that's telling me what my human rights are. They're not talking to me. God has given me my rights. And like I heard in a song recently, let them be what they want to be and let them do what they want to do. That's the whole, this is God's world, not man's world. Man has come along and made all these laws, rules, and regulations to impede purpose. Everyone thinks we got a better idea what the purpose of all of this is, so we got to make everyone subject to these laws, rules, and regulations, which is what's causing the mess here. Every time I turn around, they want to pass more laws to fix this and fix that, but after you think after 2,000 years of passing laws to fix things, they just, you'd wake up one day and realize this is not fixing anything, it's making it worse. It's obvious. We've got a town north of here, they're putting out a petition. They want to have all the kids under curfew. I'm thinking, why don't you start loving the kids? You want to pass more laws now. See what's happening here? As a result of these laws, now we're down to the point we want to put curfew on our kids. Instead of love them, give me a break. So any of these laws that are speaking out there with regards to human rights and this and that and the other thing has nothing to do with me. It's not speaking to me. It may have something to do with them and what they can and cannot do, but it's nothing. I will not rely on any law of man to tell me what kind of rights I have. I am my own authority, and God is my highest authority. So I'm my own highest authority here, but I'm here under his authority, God's authority. And Jesus made that very clear. That's not to be subject to another man, certainly not to be a surety.
Right.
So, and let's make another thing clear here I want to touch on with respect to the Change of Name Act, or even that aside. You look on your birth certificate, you see a legal name. Clearly, you're not the source of the origin of it. clearly under the Change of Name Act legislation, the party making the offer has got to have rights in the thing being offered in order to make the offer. So there's your owner of the name. But the owner of the name is also saying in the Change of Name Act that you don't own our name, but you can be recognized by it. And I just sent an email out about 15 minutes before this call. You may not have had time to read it, but no big deal. But it's talking about possession and title. And or when possession and title pass. And there's two things that can happen independently, one of the other. And in the case of the birth certificate, yes, you have possession of the birth certificate. But the actual legal title in it is not passing. So two things are happening here independently. Is the first thing that's happening is, yes, possession of the birth certificate, transfer of the birth certificate passes into your possession. But it's not until you start signing with your own mere signature that it starts to appear the title and the name has passed to you. Because if you choose not to be recognized by it, then the title cannot pass. Title in the birth certificate passes, but not title in the name. So there's the talking here under possession and title that both things need not occur at the same time, and the second may never occur. And so the thing is here is that if there's nowhere in the legislation that is saying this name is your name, that you have title in it, exclusive of all others. So, but ultimately what the Change of Name Act is saying, and you know, for example, for me to entitle Jim or authorize Jim to use Steve's car or to use a car, I can't do that legally unless I own that car. Or have some kind of rights in that car. I got to be the registered owner of it, basically. Like even the bank could say I have an interest in that car, but the bank cannot authorize someone else to use the borrower's car. No, so only the owner of something can authorize someone can grant an entitlement. Okay, and so the instant you choose not to be recognized by it, here we are again. We have this legal name that's got some charges against it, but we can't recognize the bearer of the birth certificate by the name. So who the heck else is there? So how you talk, how you act, and how you sign truly determines your fate. And what I'm gathering here is, as I've shared a couple times, is I know now that God has provided me with everything I could possibly want. I may not exactly know how to get it all yet, but I know it's all there. So I don't even really need to ask for it. It's better I just give thanks in acknowledgement that it's already here, whether or not I see it. It's a reprogramming thing, a faith thing. The point is it's not so much of an asking as it is giving thanks, which is an admittance or an acknowledgement that God has provided everything I could possibly need. Well, I think the same thing's going on with the birth certificate. And that everything, you know, it's as long as you sign accordingly, everything will simply flow. As long as you act and speak accordingly, everything will flow within the truth. Everything is already out there to operate in the truth and to operate in the other land, but when you start talking the truth, then everything goes a different course without resistance. So it's as long as you properly identify yourself in relation to the legal name and your choice or whatever, if you even need to get into that, but sign accordingly or act and speak accordingly, it will be accepted with minimal resistance, depending on, and I think most resistance will come down to yourself. So some people want to go in, and before they do anything, they want to start explaining stuff. As soon as you start explaining to another guy that's outside of the realm of his normal activity, he's now on guard. Say, what the heck's going on here? Just do it like it's normal, and then if an issue arises, then you deal with it. But to go in there and start, like, you know, I'm doing this because of this and that and that and this and this and this and this and this says this and this means this and because I said so and all that stuff, forget it. Or consider forgetting it. Now, someone comes, you know, when I was in the satellite business selling satellite dishes and someone starts talking about all this off-the-wall stuff, I'm just there to sell satellite dishes, buddy. I don't know what the heck you're talking about here. You're confusing me. I'm going to get my boss over here. And just bringing it upon yourself. So let there be no mistake that there is an offer being made to be recognized. And again, that word recognized in Black's Law is the past tense is recognized, is defined as actual and publicly known. That's all it says. And there's something in the Elections Act about something being in actual existence as well. So like any offer, however, you don't have to accept the offer. And that's why I shared Section 55.2 of the Bills of Exchange Act. Is if basically they're talking about how acceptance obtained, and they're talking about acceptance of an offer. In other words, if you know someone puts a gun to your head and makes you to get you to sign on the dotted line for their offer to buy a car, that's null and void. It talks about fraud, duress, threat, fear, and circumstances such that amount to a fraud. And at the end of the day, if you are refused to sign for Her Majesty or to sign in a manner that is not binding yourself and discloses some other party as a principal, and you're refused that, then what I'm seeing there is someone is attempting to deprive me of value or a legal right, which falls within the meaning of fraud. They're asking me to become a surety for someone else's debt. I would suggest that they refuse to open the account on that basis. There's two things to get from that is they are going down the fraud avenue, or maybe they're telling you something that, well, we can't do it like this, sir. We can't tell you this, but you need to do this through a lawyer or something like that. There's always that other possibility. So it's not that you're being refused. You got to kind of look for subtle messages or hints or something.
So, Vic, when you signed for the bank account, did you use a derivative of BVR?
What do you mean?
BRV, or did you sign BRV?
You're talking about the actual signature, right?
Yes.
Just a signature. The way I normally sign. Mine's just a squiggle.
Oh, okay. All right. That's all I wanted to know.
No, but you could certainly, if you wanted to, purr and print the legal name as it appears on the birth certificate or close to it or something like that for Her Majesty. No problem with that either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there you're showing the legal name that you do not consent to be recognized by, and so clearly that's why you're signing using that name to sign for Her Majesty, so you're identifying the agent and the principal.
Right, on the same line.
You know, so I'm not signing for myself here. The way I sign like this because I don't consent to be recognized by the name that Her Majesty offered me to be recognized by.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not recognized by it, who the heck else is there?
Agreed.
I would print the name above it, not on the same line.
Okay, but the name from your head when you can put per the name from your head, is that not acceptable too? Because you're probably going to have. Within the contract, you're going to have the straw man's name in there.
Again, you decide.
Yep, that's my decision.
Yep.
It's the same as if you get a check from let's say, the BC Pension Corporation. Who signs the check, the BC Pension Corporation, or per John Smith or some name? So it doesn't matter who signs it. As long as it's signed for.
That's right. That's right.
And they have the authorization.
That's right.
Yeah.
The birth certificate is the authorization. Right?
Yep. You're the recipient of the birth certificate, so you have the power of attorney
That's right.
That.
Yep. That's right. Yep. So if you wanted to make it real simple for your own mind, just put per and then print the name like it appears on the birth certificate or the version of it. Doesn't really matter as long as everyone knows that when you show the identification, this name on the account, there's the same name here off of this birth certificate. There's the nexus. They know where the source is now. And so you print, per VRB for Her Majesty and Right of Ontario or Canada, whatever the case may be.
Vic, did they ask for a second identification?
I went in there with a birth certificate, a social insurance card, an expired passport, and a health card. They don't accept health cards anymore. And she wouldn't accept the passport because it was void, but they accepted the birth certificate and social insurance card.
What about an address?
Just the address where I'm at. There has to be an address. Remember, that's the address for the agent.
Right.
And this is why I think that we all have our own means to take care of our own response, to live independently of the system or with it, but independent and with all your neighbors, but independent in that you have the authority to do things, full authority whenever you didn't have it. And our problems simply arose when we signed incorrectly. And so I think you'll find that it may not happen overnight, but as you realize the power and the authority, you'll just start to do business in that manner, and you won't meet the resistance. What the heck am I saying here? Well, back to the promissory notes. I'm going tomorrow to deal with some old traffic fines and stuff that have been sitting on the books for a while, that conviction that was not registered, but I know the debt's still on the books. I'm going down there to give them a note. I have a sneaky suspicion that those debts will not get off there unless I take responsibility and go down there and have Her Majesty paid.
Makes sense.
You know, I have the choice to bind Her Majesty, or I have the choice to bind myself. It's always with me. The choice is with me, and it's on a case-by-case, moment-by-moment basis. It's never a case of, I need help. You just do it.
Yeah. Vic?
Yep?
This is Pierre. The promissory note, I tried that with a bank account, and the bank, they refused it.
Yep, whose bank account?
That's the agent bank account.
Yeah. So what were you trying to do there?
Just try to put the promissory note to clear a ticket. Frozen account, they say.
How was the note made out, anyhow?
It was made to the Queen by the agent.
Well, what do you mean? Like, well, how did it read?
It read, let me think about it. Her Majesty in right for per the agent.
Who's it paid to?
Was paid to the agent.
Well, doesn't make any sense.
No.
How come?
Well, that's not a promise. Doesn't even sound like it's a promissory note.
No, it is a promissory note.
Because it's very simply.
Maybe the paper is, but not how you've completed it.
So it doesn't sound like a note.
Whoever is the vendor, or if it was the province because of tickets, you make it out to the province is who receives
right.
the money, and then you're
that's
just right. signing it normally per Her Majesty.
That's right.
Okay. What happened is somebody made me a promissory note. I went to deposit it in the account, okay, and then that promissory note was refused.
Yeah, well, again, I've shared many times on the emails, I believe that these things were only going to work if you're paying for something. Funding an account is not paying for anything.
There's no debt set off.
There's nothing there. There's no asset there. There's nothing there.
The promissory note was for service received. Okay? Somebody gave that to me. Okay? I went to deposit it in the account.
How did you sign the note, too?
The note was for, I endorsed it. The agent endorsed it.
How was the note signed?
Was signed by the other agent.
Yeah, how was it signed? Like, did it say by agent for Her Majesty?
Hey, it was your model, Vic.
How long ago did you do this?
Today.
Today?
Yeah.
How could it be refused today?
Well, the bank refused it.
Couldn't let you deposit it.
No, I went directly to the manager of the bank.
And you tried to cash it.
No, I didn't try to cash it. I said, I'm depositing how do you call that? Promissory note? I said, take the promissory note and send it to the... General.
Treasurer.
Yeah, to the trade. Well, it's the Receveur General here in Quebec. So I said, before you take the money out of it, send it over there, get the money out of there, and put it in the account to close the account. So they're checking on it, but they refused it in the start. But I told her to check it out anyway, send it to the Receveur General, and we'll see what they're going to say about it in about 2 days.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's got anything to do with the receiver general, but how was the note signed? I still don't know that. So someone else made the note, right? Not you.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay,
hey, I'm telling you, it was the same that you did. It was in right of Her Majesty in the right of Canada, and signed the agent under it. So,
but someone else made the note and gave it to you, right?
Yeah.
Why did you do that?
because it was for service received. Then I took the note.
Yeah, but it's not true.
Yes, it was.
You're mixing processes.
Totally. You got a friend paying, giving you a note to pay you for services provided that you provided to your friend.
Yeah.
Well, that's all mixed up.
That's all totally mixed up.
I think the problem is what security do you have for that promissory note to back that up?
Nothing.
You present the note to the guy who promises to pay.
Yeah, but that's not good enough.
We're wasting time.
We talked about this 3, 4, 5 years ago too, and let's keep it. The purpose of money is not to pay for yourself. If you have a traffic ticket, you go pay the traffic ticket.
Right.
Okay, if you want to buy a car, you pay the vendor. If you want to buy a house, you pay that through the lawyer to the vendor. You don't pay yourself. It has nothing to do with you. So I think these have to be done when you're dealing with a registered business. If you're dealing with a registered business and the government has knowledge of the business, the government knows that the business is in the business of providing goods and services or selling something. But when it doesn't have that knowledge, then it doesn't know what's going on here, and it's not going to, I don't think it's going to cover payment for something that has nothing, there's no benefit to the game.
Okay.
So this is why I'm saying, I've shared that in emails. Why people want to start funding their own bank accounts, I don't understand the thinking. You get a bill, you write a the note, and you send it to whoever sent you the bill.
Yeah, okay, I understand that.
There's the value received is evidenced by the bill.
Yeah.
And if it's made payable to, say, Bell Telephone, then the government of Canada or whoever needs to know knows that Bell Telephone does provide phone services, and they can do the checking and confirm that, yes, there is an account in this name, and okay, so then we're on the hook for it.
Okay, I understand.
So I'm thinking that there has got to be, and again, if there's a registered vendor in the equation, then there's a contract in the equation, so there's an asset in the equation.
So what about a house that's privately for sale?
There's no such thing. Well, it may be for sale privately, but it's not a private property.
Agreed. So registered like every other. Recognized, it's not a recognized business either, is it?
Or well, the property's registered to a legal name.
One state.
Mm-hmm. And the lawyers are going to get involved.
Oh, okay. All right.
He's a lawyer.
This is what I'm thinking, folks. You know, I think at the end of the day here that I am actually meeting a lawyer tomorrow morning, slightly off topic, but... about this, I suspect at the end of the day that, you know, especially if you want to get a bank account open, like I said, I did what I did, and I'll just going through the experience and see what I learned from it and see what happens. But I think you can have this conversation with a lawyer because I think it may be beneficial in the law. If you have a legal guy, an officer of the court that has the knowledge, surely he can share the knowledge through the system and say, well, I got a guy here that doesn't consent, and, you know, there's going to be agents out there that aren't going to listen to him. There's going to be a situation of fraud here, possibly, and blah, 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 blah. Because trust me, once you say, make it clear that you don't consent to be recognized by the name, and then someone's going to identify you with that name, that's fraud.
Yeah, I'd sooner vaccinate myself first, folks. I'm off to see a lawyer, too, to discuss all this instead of it all in the public.
Yeah, that's exactly.
I'd sooner be immune rather than try and seek emergency aid after I've been whacked on the head.
Totally. I agree. And that's you said that nicely, immune, and I think you can be more immune by, as much as I said, I believe you have the tools that you can go out there and do business with whatever you want under the authority of Her Majesty and binding upon Her Majesty.
Right.
But at the end of the day, if you really want to be a sovereign like the Queen, remember what the Queen did. She surrendered her estate, and then they appointed someone to manage that whole affair for her.
Exactly. And you know what happens when a sovereign appears in the public? You lose your sovereignty.
That's what I would say.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's why they got it up in arms in Parliament, because they used her name. You can't do that.
That's right.
So, Jack here, I don't want to take up too much more time. I just want to say that I'm going to go get a representative. I want to maintain my sovereignty, and then I will have a public face to use that name, my straw man name, if you want to call it, my agency card, and just do stuff on behalf of that. I can sign behind the scenes, behind the door, and everybody's happy.
Yep.
And it doesn't upset the system.
That's right. Yep.
Good night, baby.
Good night, Jack. Any other questions? that lovely child there just push star 6, please? Press star 6 and mute.
Put it on yourself. Oh, my goodness.
Star 6.
Well, I guess we'll call the call here if that's what we're going to listen to. I mean, I love children, but caller with the baby there could please mute the line, we could would appreciate it.
Continue with baby talk.
Pardon me?
We can continue with baby talk.
Goo goo gaga. So, any other questions, folks?
Well, Vic, there's still the problem with incidental type of purchases, whether it's a quart of milk or a cup of coffee.
Like I said at the beginning of this call, if you're still thinking about that, then you're not thinking on the process, and you're not thinking that something to do is going to get you there. Okay, what we're talking about here is not, like Jack and I just talked about going to a lawyer to set this thing up and have the trustee and all of this sort of stuff in the equation. That would be the answer to the question, I would think, once you get the truth on the table. But let's not focus on how am I going to get the peanuts next month. Let's focus on getting the truth injected and let things fall as they may. Your answers will come. Everyone does the same thing. They talk about this and then they want to talk about the future.
Hey.
So, are there any more questions?
Vic, when are you going to proceed to put a promissory note through, or the process that you evolved to see that it does go forward?
I'm doing that tomorrow.
I see. Okay.
So you're going to a lawyer tomorrow to, in fact, involve yourself in the same way that Jack described, eh?
Like I said, not necessarily. I'm not going to express what my reasons are in the call yet. And but at the same time, I'm going to, while I'm down in that area, I got a couple past deaths I'm going to go look after on behalf of the agency.
With notes.
Demand notes, yep.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you've done it for me, my friend.
Hello.
So I think if you just keep on the simplicity of it and you keep yourself out of it, just identify the agent, identify the principal, and in fact, it's not required.
This line is now muted.
Okay, just so you're all clear here, I just muted all the callers there. And so if you want to be heard, you're going to have to press star 6, I think, to unmute your phone.
Yeah, star 6 will do it.
Star 6 will do it.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
And a little quieter now. What was I just talking about there? Oh, So keep yourself out of it. You get it's not required that the agent is identified. It's critical that the principal is identified. But if you want to make it real simple in your mind, you just put print the legal name or as it appears on the birth certificate. If you want to do it exactly like that, that's fine. No problem with that. In fact, that's exactly how I'm going to do it. And then for Her Majesty and Right of Ontario or Canada, if asked why you did what you did, it's very simple. I have an offer here to be recognized by the name. I don't accept the offer. And so who the heck else is there? If not me, who? If I'm not recognized by this name, then who the heck else is there? And here's the legal name signing for Her Majesty. So here's the legal name that I choose not to be recognized by, signing for Her Majesty.
So you're becoming sovereign as she is. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Well, I don't know about as she is, but
that's
a legal entity, but that's the top of the heap. And someone said today, it's the sovereign can do no wrong, and that is true.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
So whether it's a legal sovereign or a real sovereign, it's recognized, I guess, as the same thing.
Yeah, I would think so. They are one and the same, it seems.
Yep. So are there any other questions? And, oh, yeah, and if you're doing notes, there has to be, in my view, there has to be an asset or something backing it. A debt is an asset. So if you're using a note to pay off a debt to the party that's holding the debt, that's the party that's holding the asset. And so an asset is a debt, and a tangible thing, house, car, TV, whatever, that's an asset.
A tangible physical object of some kind.
Or a debt. But that note has got to be, in my view, tendered directly to the party who's holding the debt or holding the asset or whatever the case may be. But the asset, a tangible thing is an asset, and a debt is an asset. So whoever's got that, that's where the payment's got to go, or the payment order.
And they send it to the Treasury? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying anything.
Yeah.
They send it where they send it.
It's not my problem. You're identifying Her Majesty as the principal. That ain't your problem. It's not my problem.
Just like any check you might put in your bank account, even, because could be anybody.
What you're doing is you're bringing balance to a situation. That's all you're doing.
Yeah,
totally. You know, but again, it's in the Lord's Prayer that our will be done. So we do have our independence here, and we can bind ourselves or we can bind Her Majesty. That's our will.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that they'll stop charging the legal name. It certainly doesn't mean that you can't charge it. And when you're going out and buying something in that name, you're charging that name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're authorizing the charge. You're authorizing when you're putting that name as a buyer. You're charging. You know, you're authorizing the other party to charge that name.
And I take possession of the asset for the Her Majesty.
Yep. Well, it's
in exchange
however you want to look at that. The point is you don't own the legal name, so you don't own the house. Her Majesty owns the legal name, so technically she owns the house, and the legal owner pays.
Exactly.
Yeah. I view the name as a facility. The Queen holds the title and the name. And she's given me the authorization to sign on behalf of that name. And
possession.
I get the use and possession, and she's got the title, and she's got the assets. So
yeah.
Yep.
They're balanced the same day.
That's why, we considered, you know, when it came to putting the name of the buyer on the contract, putting down Her Majesty as the buyer. But then when it comes time to saying, okay, the car is ready for Her Majesty, who has that identification, right?
Yeah.
And that's not normal. What's normal is they're obligated to see these vendors, this and the lawyers, the legal or the government identification. So that's the way they do things.
Yeah, I think that's it.
So again, we have the legal name on the contract. The only question is, who's going to perform for it? The recipient of the birth certificate or Her Majesty that made the offer?
Yeah, you decide.
Decide. Your will be done.
Beautiful.
And if it was meant that you must bind yourself, then first off, they wouldn't even need your signature. You just walk in there and say, well, this is yours, and you're taking it whether you like it or not, and this is how much you owe us, and if you don't pay, we're taking it back, blah, blah, blah. And it does not say shall be recognized. And if it did say shall be recognized, then it would be very prudent to have full disclosure that, okay, if you're requesting this birth certificate, you're agreeing that you are recognized by the name on it.
Mm-hmm.
Which case you might say to yourself, no, I'm not going to go there. No, I'm not applying. Forget it. Yeah, but none of that is happening, and it's done for a reason. And as I understand it, we've shared, is that this is what keeps Canada afloat, Canada being our home. And it needs the assets to keep it going.
Yeah, exactly.
Give 100%, receive 100%. But to keep it real simple in the mind, so you got to make sure that the name of the agent, the legal name, is on the contract, because that's how they do things out there. And then the only question is now, is the recipient binding himself, or is he binding the owner of the name, the principal?
That's dead easy. I mean, you know, nothing to that kind of thinking. That's simple.
Well, that's
right. And that's why I think if you get down to the real simplicity in your mind, and that's where I'm getting down to, is, you know, this is just a simple conversation with the lawyer. Here's the section of the law. What's it saying to you?
Exactly.
You know, if for example, if I waive the right to be recognized by this name, then who the heck is?
Yeah, where's the responsibility fall?
That's right. So then the lawyer's got to be going, geez, I don't know. I says, well, then maybe you should, could you then make an inquiry for me?
And how much did this promissory note made out for?
Pardon me?
And you, yeah. The lawyer, how much do you need this promissory note made out for this conversation?
Yep. But
well, that's why, I plan to test it, by the way.
Really?
Okay. Yep. Whatever comes out at the moment, it's like we can talk about it here tonight, but what I actually talk about tomorrow, I don't know. I'll know when I get there, but I've certainly got it in my mind and straight in my mind, and I know I have a choice there, and so the question is real simple. If I choose not to be recognized or I don't consent or accept the offer here to be recognized by the name, who the heck is?
Right.
Exactly.
So how can I proceed? I need to have that question answered. So I think a lawyer can make that inquiry fairly easily. If the lawyer doesn't already know.
Well, I suspect that some of them don't know because they don't dwell upon it or have studied it, but certainly
well,
they have the access to it.
Based on the conversation I had with the lawyer last Wednesday at the same law firm, by the way, but she's in a different responsibility there. I think when they look at the language and they see what's being said there, that they'll know. Because in this conversation I had with the lawyer there last Wednesday, it became apparent into the conversation that, you know, if I entitled you to be recognized by my name, and you signed to bind me in such a manner so as to indicate me as the principal, are you off the hook? Well, let me say it the way I said it to her. Her name was Pam.
Oh, yeah.
So I says, Pam, I got a scenario for you. Let's say you, Pam, authorize me, Vic, to be recognized by the name Steve that you own. And I go out there and I put the name Steve on a contract and I sign to indicate you as the principal. Does that put you on the hook? She said no. And we went through various scenarios, and well, it was either no or not necessarily, and I don't like either. I don't like no or not necessarily. I like a definitive
answer.
So after talking about it, you know, kind of in a roundabout way for 10 or 15 minutes, it became very apparent that then the best thing, because the key word there was recognized. I didn't know the meaning of the word recognized at the moment. The word recognized means actual and publicly known.
That's interesting. I didn't know that either.
And during our conversation, I was using the word recognized. So I was saying to her, I'm agreeing to, and so you're letting me be recognized, and I'm agreeing to be recognized by your name, means I'm agreeing to be actually and publicly known. So I'm the one they're going to drag into court. So it became evident that the best choice for me is to I don't accept the offer, which then means well, who is recognized?
Mm-hmm.
It just closes out any other areas. It's a simple question. If not me, who? Rather than worrying about being recognized. So it doesn't really change anything. It's just changed my thinking about, rather than saying, yes, I'm authorized to be recognized by this name for purposes of binding Her Majesty, I don't consent to accept the name offered by Her Majesty, therefore I have the authority to bind Her Majesty.
Mm-hmm.
That word recognized seemed to be a hinging point. So, anyhow, it's very clear in there that there's no shall be recognized by the name. Judy Hartman said to us in that meeting, a birth certificate, and she's speaking for Her Majesty now, the legal entity that they represent, was never intended that a birth certificate is personal identification. It evolved.
Yeah.
Now, in evidence, it didn't evolve by you saying your name is Victor Beck, or Victor Robert Beck, or Beck Victor Robert, or Beck Victor, or any of that stuff. It wasn't you accepting letters. It was when that name came on a contract and you signed with the bare signature. That's the only thing in evidence. So you became actual and publicly known at that point. But when you're not recognized by it, then who is actually and publicly known? And I don't want to be publicly known, period. And sovereigns are not publicly known. They can't be publicly talked about in the public.
Uh-huh. Even in the House of Parliament, they can't.
That's right.
I understand, yeah.
Well, very good, guys. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
I'm going to check out.
Okay.
Perfect stuff.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, right on. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
So, any other questions anyone has?
Well, I think that you've done it, my friend. Thank you again. Thank you very much.
Yep. So if you're going to do any, just make sure you know the answer to the question. I sent an email out there just a few minutes before the call, and take your time, no rush.
Yep.
And to internalize it and get comfortable with things, but do bear in mind that if you are challenged as to why you did what you did, then just have the answer to the question, and it could be real simple. It says right here, I have a choice to be recognized by the name. I don't consent, so who the heck is?
Well, that is the, that
and
is
I
the
express,
answer.
And I express my lack of consent by the way I signed.
and that, you know, that is the answer. You don't need to say much else.
And you don't need to, and you don't need to tell them who it is. You can say, well, if not me, who? Let them figure it out.
And let them conjure it up, or let them try to find out what it is that they should
do. I mean, imagine having a conversation with a guy, and then you'd say, well, I don't consent to be recognized by it. Right off the bat, he's got to be going, geez, well, then who do I recognize by it?
Well, there you are.
No, let them investigate.
Yeah.
And if there's allegations of fraud or anything like that, then...
Well, a lot of these agents actually need legal advice themselves. I mean,
they
have no idea.
That's right, and that's because if they make a mistake, then they could be sued, right?
Well, yeah, they knew what they were saying. They knew the implications of they're saying, "Oh, you can't sign like that." Well,
they are stepping outside their authority, perhaps, and they're vulnerable.
Well, if someone would say that to me, we talked about this years ago, then I would turn the paper and say, "Well, here, you sign then," or deal with it at the moment. In any case, you know, like, what do you mean I can't sign like that?
Vic, question for you. It's Jack here.
Yes, Jack.
When you're buying something from a vendor and you want to sign for the queen and the vendor doesn't want to accept it, like they're not obligated to accept it, are they?
Obligated? I would say no.
They can say, no, you can't have the stuff.
Well, first off, as we make clear when we're doing these kind of things, is it's never really come up like that, Jack. We just make it clear, and once the funds are in your account, then we get the stuff.
Oh, you mean you'd wait till they were paid?
Sure.
Well, absolutely.
Just get a receipt. That's all.
Well, no one's gonna give you a 55 if the funds are not in the account. I'm sorry.
Right, exactly.
So you do the contract up, you give them the note, and you say when you've got the help, call me to pick up the car.
Okay, so we're not using this for going to the gas pumps to buy gas.
No, I'm not.
Like that.
Like I said, I think somewhere along the way, and Jack has shared the same thing. For example, I'm going to talk to a lawyer, and I'm not going to share exactly why I'm talking to them, but I suspect that conversation will lead to other things. And again, if the question is simple, this is not exactly where I'm going there, but, if I'm not recognized by the name, then who the heck is? And the reason I need to have the answer to the question is because when I go there to contract, I need to know how to sign to indicate the principal.
And that's the advice you'd be seeking from the lawyer. At least that's what he would think.
Right. No, they make the inquiry to downtown. Surely someone's going to say, oh, he knows about that, does he? So then they go, okay, well, then, here's the deal. You be the trustee or whatever the case may be, and you issue him a credit card or whatever the case may be. This is the future again, folks. I don't know. I'm looking at a way to get to that point.
Yeah,
but
it's a good extrapolation, though. But first things first, though.
Okay, question in relation to your bank account you just opened. If they make out checks for you and you haven't put in more than your $35, are you able to make out checks for any amount you want and bind the queen?
Well, again, the account is opened, signed for Her Majesty.
Right.
Any checks that are issued, if any, will be signed the same way.
Right.
It has the name of the agent in the upper left-hand corner. And the check's like a normal, regular, everyday check, but it will be signed in that manner.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, though, it's I'm not even really thinking that far in advance about writing checks. I'm waiting to see what happens.
You want to see what their response is?
Yep, because I believe they go downtown. You say, I don't know what they're going to do yet. I can't tell you what I'm going to do until I know what they're going to do. And if they were to come back and refuse the account, then I want to know why they're refusing the account. which under the Financial Consumer Agency Act of Canada, they're obligated to do that.
Obligated.
I've met all of their requirements. The only thing I haven't done is sign the way most people would sign.
Right.
And I gave them a piece of paper, and the definition of fraud is there, not to suggest that anyone's doing fraud. In fact, I used it in such a manner to say, I'm not here to mislead or to partake in fraudulent activity. Well, I want this account open on the basis of the truth, as I know it.
Right.
And if I'm not recognized on this account, who the heck is? So therefore, I'm doing it this way because the party that made the offer that I didn't accept is authorized me to open the account for that party and sign for that party.
So at this stage, you don't know whether they really opened an account.
Oh, they opened it. I got the access card. I got the PIN number. I got all that stuff. I got the paperwork. I got my copy. And but I understand that other people have recently gone in to open up bank accounts, and we're going to sign in a certain manner. And the bank staff said that the head office would probably send it back or something like that.
Oh, okay.
But to my knowledge, the individual never.
They didn't say that to you, did they? No.
The individual that I'm thinking of here, two of them actually never actually proceeded to open the account, so that we'll never know what really happened there, but that's why I did what I did.
Mm-hmm. They didn't actually tell you that would be happening, eh?
Nope.
Good. That'll be interesting.
The thing is, what is in evidence right now is how I have signed on that account.
Right.
Okay, and so what I'm thinking, and I'm not predicting the future here, but my mind right now is that I'm going to wait and see. I asked her. She said I should receive the checks in about 5 days, pre-print the checks.
Yeah.
When I get those checks, then that will be verification everything's a go.
Right.
Perhaps then at that point I will go down to talk to the manager down there just to make sure that he's clear on what we're doing here.
Right.
Yeah, right now.
Or maybe communicate with the head office. I don't know. That's the future.
Yeah. Let's see what happens first.
When you're ordering your checks, Vic, you put the identification of the agent Beck?
Like I said, it's just a regular bank check the way they normally do it. You show the identification, they do what they do, and they create checks, right?
Yes, but then did you ask them to add the word agent in front of that?
No.
Okay.
Nope, it's the principal that matters. It's the disclosure of the principal that's critical.
Yeah, okay. Makes sense.
But the way you signed indicated you weren't the principal.
Oh, totally. Well, Her Majesty and Right of Ontario.
Good.
Well, we'll be interested in hearing how they react.
Vic, in relation to the... Hi, Vic. In relation to the landed immigrant scenario, in essence, wouldn't it be the birth certificate of a new name?
Well, actually, there's something... if you read the Change of Name Act for Ontario...
Yes.
It talks about that, about... If you come from another place,
yes.
Well, actually, what it says is that if your name's not here, then the name that you had before you came here applies.
Perfect.
So again, read that section 2.1 of the Change of Name Act right to the very end of it.
Okay.
Just that section 2.1. It's the very last part. It's like A, B, C, D or something like that in that section, but it's mentioned in there where they determine what the last name, the former name or the last name and usage is or what.
Right.
Vic, when they asked for a birth date, did you give the registration date of the birth certificate or the date of that you know?
They didn't ask that. Dave, I just showed them. I gave them a birth certificate and a social insurance number and let them do what they did.
Yeah.
I didn't say anything.
Perfect. That's how
I guess a driver's license would be okay, too, eh?
I didn't use that. I don't have one.
I don't have a SIN number card, so...
And if I had one, I would not have used it. In fact, I was not prepared to give any more than the birth certificate and the social insurance card. Anything else beyond that, to me, kind of, it's not that it's a problem. I wasn't going to go there. I wanted to stick to the specifics. What do you need this other ID for? It's not my name on there.
Yeah, but there is your picture on there, and that could link you.
That's why I had the passport.
Passport has a picture, though.
That's right. So I said, it's invalid, but you'll see my picture on there. Same guy.
Yeah, that's
same
the picture of the agent. The picture of the agent, that's all.
Picture
that
of the sovereign.
Sovereign, yeah. Okay. All right, I hear you.
So, but that was, and there is actually a provision in the Bank Act or the Access to Bank Regulations where you can actually get an account open purely with a birth certificate, provided that someone in the community knows you. So again, I'm going to suggest, and I only did what I did with the bank today. I don't have any particular expectations. I went through a process to see how it would go, do my own little thing there, the opportunity. I was excited about doing it. I'm happy I did it. I had fun doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
You get caught, you just test your confidence there. There's nothing to fear. It's just people on the other side doing what they do, and you deal with issues as they arise. But
if you have somebody that knows you.
I still have a sneaky suspicion at the end of the day, it's gonna be... unless it's done through a lawyer, let me say that again, that it's going to have to be done through a lawyer. I'm not saying it is, but I just have this sneaky suspicion. Because the lawyer is the legal guy, right?
Yeah, yeah. He has a hat on.
Like someone said before, if there are any legal issues, they always go to the lawyer.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
if you've got a lawyer doing this for you, then it must be okay. They're all officers. They're officers of the court.
As the name on the legal document.
Sorry, Jack, I missed the first part.
That if you somebody that recognizes you name on the legal document, that would backfire on you, wouldn't it?
I don't know what you mean.
Well, if the person you said you could take one ID in, like your birth certificate, and have somebody that knows you, Nick would swear they know you. Are you swearing that they know you as
Victor Beck?
Whatever name you generally use, but not the legal name? Or are they swearing that they know you as the legal name?
Well, they're going to go in there and they say, yes, I know this guy to be Victor Beck. Okay, now the rest is up to you.
Yeah, what Victor Beck means is, he's an agent, so...
Okay, I'm Victor Beck, but not that Victor Beck, because you see, that Victor Beck belongs to her queen. I can't possibly be that Victor Beck now, can I? We've had this conversation. We should know by now that you cannot be the legal name. The best you can be is a surety for it.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So, in answer to your question, Jack, you could be Jack, but you're not the Jack on the birth certificate.
That's right, but if you're Jack T. Chamberlain...
It doesn't matter. There's Jack T. Chamberlain, the name that was given to you by your parents, and then there's a legal one offered to you by Her Majesty.
I realize
they're two different.
But as long as they recognize or understand,
trust me, when I golf with my lawyer friend, he's not talking to Vic Beck, the legal entity. He's talking to his golf buddy. Okay, so he's not going to identify you as the name on the birth certificate. There's no way. So there's no need to worry about this thinking. This is part of what I'm suggesting. We need to clear some of this stuff, this confusion, out of our heads.
Yeah.
My name is Victor Robert Beck. Okay, but just so you're clear, I'm not consenting to be recognized by the name Beck Victor Robert on the birth certificate, which is the name you're going to put on the account, not the name out of my head. So all they're really verifying there is that you're in possession of the proper birth certificate.
Okay, but they would have to be identifying you as you identify yourself, not as the birth certificate identifies.
Correct.
Or is trying to identify.
Well, again, that's up to you. You know, all I can say is here when someone, I just said it, Jack. I don't know how to say it another way. My name is Victor Robert Beck. However, I don't consent to be recognized by the name Victor Robert Beck on that birth certificate. So there's two Victor Robert Becks. One is from my head, one is from Her Majesty.
Two different identities.
And so I don't care how the guy introduces me at the bank. As long as the bank is satisfied that they got the right guy, good. I don't care. Because at no time can I be the legal name. So in any case, if you don't like that path, then produce all the identification. But the point is there, and I also said it's not that I would necessarily go in. I think I can get a lawyer to do all of this stuff for me.
Yeah, it makes sense that it's the best route to take.
It probably is.
I'm not saying it's the only one that that's the case, but I would have no problem... I was prepared to do that because, as I said, if the bank was going to refuse the account today because I didn't have photo ID. I would say, well, then if I bring someone down here that will correctly identify me, would that suffice? She would say yes, because that's in the rules.
Okay, and the lawyer is the best candidate for that, right?
Well, whatever, but I get someone that knows me that's known at that bank there, and I go in there, and they say, yep, this is Victor Beck. Okay, great. I'm Victor Beck, but not that Victor Beck. That's all.
Okay.
No, I can't be something I'm not. You got to get over that somehow. You can't go in there and, well, it doesn't matter. We said what we said there. It's pretty straightforward, in my view.
But we may not need a bank account anyway, as you say, Vic.
That's right. Certainly where you go in and establish it. So it may be an account set up in the background, but I don't think it's necessary for us to do that. But it's not to stop anyone from going out there and doing these things. I'm not saying that it's not the case.
Yep. Interesting stuff.
So any other questions?
Vic, can I call you tomorrow?
You can call me anytime you want.
Wonderful. Thank you. You keep smiling and thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, Vic.
Yep. Sorry.
Yeah, Vic, Jim checking out.
All right.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
I'll do the same. So,
fantastic.
Stay warm.
Sorry, but up everything necessary. Wait for your email.
Good night, all. Thanks for everything, man. Thanks a lot.